It is my hope that everyone here has had at least one time in their life they looked up at the night sky and they just thought, wow. So I encourage you to think about that as we get into our scripture passages for today. And as we remember that the creator of all that loves us more than we can imagine. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, guide our thoughts and words today. You are the potter, we are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I admit I'm kind of a creature of towns and cities. I've never lived in the country. I've always lived in towns or cities. I've lived in some fairly small towns, less than 2,000 people. I've lived in a city of more than 2 million people. And frankly, I like the hustle and bustle of towns and cities. I like the sound of train whistles going by at night. I don't mind sounds outside my window. It's just kind of what I'm used to. But there is one big drawback about a town or a city, even a relatively small town: light pollution. At night, when you've got all the lights shining, all the street lights or the lights that we have outside of our houses or whatever that may be, you can look up in the night sky and you can see the moon. You might see a few stars, but you don't really see the glory of the night sky because all that other light drowns it out. But then there's an experience like I had around 8 years ago, actually pretty close to 8 years ago to today. I was on a mission trip with a group of people out in South Dakota. I and some college students were out there from the church I was serving, and we went to a place called Milk's Camp. It was a camp where they did programming for teens and families and people with developmental delays on the Rosebud Lakota Reservation out there. And you know what? There's not a lot of towns in that part of South Dakota. And we were really, really far from any towns where we were. So if you got away from the one light that was shining at camp, by the camp office and by where the bathrooms were, and you went to another part of camp and you looked up, it was just kind of a wow. You could see the Milky Way, that faint milkiness in the sky. You could see more stars than you could ever begin to count. You could even see that the stars weren't all exactly the same color. Some of them seemed a little bit yellow. Some of them seemed pure white. Some of them seemed a little bit blue in the night sky. It was breathtaking. It was like looking at a painting. It was gorgeous. Now, some of you who maybe grew up in the country or who live in the country now might be able to identify with this experience. Or maybe some of the rest of you have been out camping or someplace a long way and you've looked up in the night sky and thought, wow, look at all that beauty. Or maybe you really like the stars and you just once in a while deliberately drive out into the country, into the darkness, so that you can see the lights above us. The night sky is amazing. There are stars and there are planets and there are shooting stars, meteors, and if you're really lucky, there's comets and all kinds of amazing things. When I worked at a college in Kansas many years ago, they had a telescope night on campus. It was a relatively small college, and the science department got out several of their telescopes, and they set them up on a relatively dark part of campus. And we were all invited to look through the telescopes, and I remember looking through one of them, and it's like, oh my gosh, that's the rings of Saturn. Now, I knew Saturn had rings. I remembered my fourth grade science book. Probably a lot of you have seen pictures of the rings of Saturn. When I was a kid, there was the Voyager spacecraft that went past Saturn and took beautiful pictures. But there was something, it was like spine-tingling to actually see it with my own eyes. It wasn't a photograph printed on a page. It was there. The universe is amazing. There is so much beauty. And a lot of things on this earth change. In the roughly, say, 3,000 years since parts of the scripture passages we read for today were first committed to, well, not paper, because they hadn't invented it yet, but first written down, a lot's changed. Rivers have changed courses. Some volcanoes have risen and fallen. Cities have gotten big and disappeared entirely. But by and large, when we look up at the night sky, it's the same sky in a lot of ways that the ancients who wrote down the words of scripture saw 3,000 years ago. That's pretty amazing. And just like them then, we today can still be amazed at the universe. Now, nowadays, we know, to quote a song, that the stars are a mass of incandescent gas, a veritable nuclear furnace. And if you don't know the rest of the song, talk to me after church. And we now know that it's not just stars out there. There are planets, and there are asteroids, and there are comets, and there's all these different bodies floating around in the night sky, and there's whatever they've decided Pluto is this week. And we nowadays know that the universe is not static, that it's getting bigger and bigger. It's expanding. The sheer size of the universe is absolutely beyond our comprehension. And nowadays we've seen pictures. We've seen pictures of stars being born, but we've seen pictures of galaxies being born in the far edges of the universe. Our resident astrophysicist, Elisa Gates, was a big help to me as I was preparing this sermon. Nowadays, we know that there's not just a few planets going around our yellow sun. In our own Milky Way, our own galaxy, there may be as many as 5 trillion planets out there. And frankly, I can't even begin to think about how much a trillion actually is, let alone 5 trillion. The person who first wrote down the much older story of Job and the composer who composed Psalm 8, probably a psalm that was sung in God's temple, they looked up at the night sky and they stood in awe of the universe, just as we might today. Here's some of those words from Job again. The writer of Job said, "Who stretched out the heavens and trampled the waves of the sea? Who made the Bear and Orion, the Pleiades and the chambers of the south? Who does great things beyond understanding and marvelous things without number?" Job's author, or authors, could not have imagined the hugeness and the beauty of the sky. But Job's author remarks around the huge and the beautiful constellations in the sky. Constellations like the Bear, Ursa Major, also known as the Big Dipper, or Orion that still dominates our night sky much of the year. And hear the words of the psalmist. "When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them." I think I can understand what the psalmist was trying to say. God created a universe with more vastness than we can ever imagine. There is more going on out in the universe than we humans can ever understand. God had the power to call forth the creation of something so big we can't comprehend it. I admit, occasionally when I look up at the night sky, I feel very small. I've swum in the ocean a few times in my life, and I admit when I've swum in the ocean, I feel incredibly small because I'm pretty darn tiny compared to the vastness of the ocean. And yet when I look at the night sky, I know that the ocean is so tiny compared to the vastness of all that. It's slightly intimidating to think I'm a creature who's so tiny by comparison. And I'm riding on this earth along with all of you and all, what is it, the other 8 billion of us who are on our planet right now. And we are guided in our journey through space by forces far beyond our control. Compared to the universe, compared to the power of the God that created the universe, compared to all the forces of nature, to gravity, to the power that's locked in each individual atom, we humans should take stock and remember that we're really not the center of all things. It's kind of humbling. But it's not just humbling. It's so beautiful. The colors, the spiral galaxies, the play of light and dark. I remember a teacher many years ago telling me the constellations are like old friends. You can always count on them to be where they're supposed to be. And you know what? I nowadays understand that. I love it in the time of year when Orion finally rises above the horizon and the hunter, Orion the hunter and his 2 dogs tailing behind, are seen up in the skies. For thousands and thousands of years, humans have looked up to the skies, and that's how we've known about the seasons. And it's how we've known how to get from one place to another. We are part of a universe with more beauty in it than words can ever express. Yet the God that made all of it, the God that created quadrillions of galaxies, and I'm not really even sure how many zeros that is, the God that created a universe that is still growing in size, that God decided to actually pay attention to a bunch of creatures that arose from some deoxyribonucleic acid on a tiny blue ball spiraling and flying through space along with so many other things. God, who created all of that, sought to inspire human beings to love us, to be in relationship with us. And the most amazing part is the God who could create all of that was, to put it in the words of my friends Katie and Jacob Eckerberger, who were here a few weeks ago leading worship, God was willing to get dirty for us. Human beings, we're not very good at being humble, are we? If you don't believe me, go find a picture of the Great Pyramid. Or go find a picture of some of those palaces they built in Europe in the 17th century. Or go find a picture of some of the giant houses people still build today. Human beings like to think of themselves as maybe a little greater than we really are. We like to show off our supposed power and wealth or how important we think we are. People like to say, I'm more important than you, I'm better than you, I want to put myself above you, and that's caused an awful lot of pain. It caused pain thousands of years ago, and it still causes pain today. If God was like a human, think about it, how much power God would have over us. But thanks be to God, God is not a human being. God is more loving. God, who created all this, God who had all the power in the relationship, looked down and saw the brokenness, saw the pain that we humans feel, the pain and misery we inflict on each other and our fellow creatures. God saw the suffering that we felt, the suffering of creation, and God actually cared about us mortals, as the psalmist put it. The creator of all things tried a lot of things to get through to us, and finally, the creator of all things came to our earth in a way that we can't fully understand through God's child, born of a teenager named Mary, likely in a stable underneath a house in a little town that most folks had never heard of, in a backwater province to an ethnic group that was under the thumb of a powerful empire who made their lives miserable. Somehow, through Jesus Christ, God's only begotten child, God entered into this tiny jewel of a blue world that we live on, to live alongside us, to feel what we felt. God sent God's child into danger for us. God cared about us so much that God was willing to bleed and die for us. God cared about us so much that God was willing to go through the unbelievable emotional anguish of watching God's child die. God, the creator of all of this amazing beauty, loved us that much. God saw the potential in each and every one of us. God said, if I am in a relationship with them, things will be so much better for them. I will bless them so profoundly. And that is how much we are loved. God was willing to suffer all that for each and every one of us. Our God, the maker of this amazing universe, will bear any burden for us. Our God is an awesome God. Now, I know for me, sometimes I struggle a little bit. I have a hard time believing that I'm good enough for a God who loves me that much. It's always been a struggle for me. I'd like to say it's a struggle I never feel anymore, but it'll probably be something I walk with much of my life. Maybe some of you have felt that struggle of feeling like I'm not good enough. But God says, yes, you are. And everyone else is as well. And we can be different than we are. We can be transformed by the love of that unbelievable creator. Each time we look up at the night sky, we can be in awe of the amazing power of God. But we can also be reminded that the God that made all that came to walk alongside of us. Part of the story of the Christian faith is that the God who made everything loved us enough to walk around with us through Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Emmanuel, God with us. So I hope this week, if you look up at the night sky, if you see that moon that spirals around our earth, if you see those stars that are light years upon light years away, if you see that beauty, may it remind you that the one who made all of that loves you, forgives you, and invites you to be in relationship with God and to learn to love your brothers and sisters on this planet. And that God came to us through Jesus Christ to teach us how much we are loved. That is part of the good news for today. May it lift our hearts towards God, towards the heavens. Amen.